Shalom, Chevarim. My friends, we are currently considering that portion of the book of Ezekiel which appears to throw prophetic light upon Medinat Yisrael, the present little state of Israel, which re-emerged into history on May 14, 1948, with the authority of the United Nations. The Ezekiel prophecies are encouraging, for they disclose prosperity for Israel in at least three spheres: prosperity in sovereignty, prosperity in soil, prosperity in soul. The certainty of the appearance of these three divine bestowals fully justifies a clear, positive note in announcing them, and how glad I am to adopt this note. The sequence of their appearance is less obvious, and therefore justifies consideration of each feature without necessarily inferring chronological succession. Like three fragrant flowers in a garden of divine planting, we can examine each bloom repeatedly and separately, without necessarily knowing which flower blossomed first. In my ninth message in this series, we pause to inhale the delectable perfume of the first, the promised shepherd prince, assuring goodness in government to Malchut Yisrael, the kingdom of Israel. The beauty of this bloom of promise invites our return to it later on. I think we'd better do so. In my last message, entitled Nishikat Ha'adama, the kiss of the soil, we sense the rich fragrance of the second flower of divine promise, the goodness of the ground in providing a material prosperity supernaturally inaugurated and maintained for the restored people of Israel. You will remember that we agreed that the present transformation of the land of Israel, wonderful though it undoubtedly is nevertheless only a reflection of the prophesied fullness. Reserving the attractive redolence of the third bloom for future spiritual inhalation, let us leave our garden and our metaphor and turn our attention to the dramatic panorama of prophecy portrayed by Hanavi Yechezkiel, the prophet Ezekiel, in his 38th and 39th chapters. I unblushingly succumb to my constant temptation to employ alliteration's artful aid in presenting the theme in the following fashion. First, the peaceful nation. Second, the predatory nations. Third, the parleying nations. Fourth, the peremptory nemesis. Fifth, the present nomenclature. My friends, I desire to paint for your gaze a tranquil picture, a peaceful portrayal of a particular people in a particular place. However, in painting this picture, let us avoid the unreliable and changeful colors of mere human speculation. Human opinion can be very vivid and sensational initially, but the changes of time can, and frequently do, leave it faded and flat. Permit me to employ exclusively only those pigments provided upon the palette supplied by the divinely inspired Ezekiel himself. Come, behold the canvas. The people of Israel restored back to the land of Israel. The land of Israel brought back from the sword. The people of Israel gathered out of many peoples. The land of Israel that was once waste and desolate. The people of Israel dwelling in the midst thereof. Israel safely and at rest in unwalled villages, without walls, bars, or gates. Israel having gotten silver and gold, cattle and goods. Those are the actual colors the prophecies of Ezekiel authorize me to use in painting my picture for you. A picture conjured to our minds by the very words of Scripture itself. It is the picture of a peaceful nation, dwelling in reasonable tranquility, security, and prosperity. A people restored to a land restored. A land restored both with regard to ownership and also to output. It is a pleasant picture. And may I remind you that for nearly 2,000 years, and note this carefully, it has been a fanciful picture. If I were broadcasting this message only 100 years ago, incredulous listeners would have laughed at Ezekiel's picture, for it is really his, not mine. His picture of a people restored to a land restored. But we know today that such laughter would have been the laughter of a loon. For surely the picture painted by Ezekiel is a picture that finds its most eloquent, animated, initial commentary and counterpart in current history. The unsheathed sword of the 4th of August, 1914, ultimately united the long-parted and sorrowing lovers, Eretz Yisrael, the Am Yisrael, the land of Israel and the people of Israel, both seared and scarred with the agonies of 2,000 years of separation, the land and the people now clasped each other in ardent reunion. The land, once waste and desolate, warmly responded to the renewed embrace of her long-absent lover, gathered out of many peoples, back once again to her bosom. The divine expulsion of the people from the land, which began under Titus in the year 70 of the Common Era and was completed under Hadrian about 134 A.D., scattered the residue of the 12 tribes of Israel, now known as the Jewish people, into many, many nations. For 1,000 years, most of the scattered people remained in the Near East and countries of North Africa. A lesser number managed to penetrate as far as England, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, and Balkan and Slav countries. It was not until the 11th century that the Jewish population increased numerically in Europe, and more particularly in Spain. Unwarranted and satanic hate and persecution made the scattering even more widespread. Torquemada's Inquisition in Spain in 1492 and wholesale massacres in Russia in 1881 are but vile echoes in reverse of the infamy of Adolf Hitler in more recent history, which began in the black days of 1939. On November 29, 1947, the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted a resolution recommending an independent Jewish state in Palestine. This stung Arab groups to force, and so, both within and without the land of Israel, the sword was prominent, and hostilities did not abate until the armies of Israel had amazed the world by securing decisive victories everywhere upon the battlefields. On May 11, 1949, the State of Israel was admitted as a member of the United Nations. Thus the land of Israel was brought back from the sword. Surely the prophetic light which blazed out from the utterances of Ezekiel some 2,500 years ago struck the flashing sword blades of those amazing years of 1914 to 1948 with scintillating brilliancy and with refraction sufficient to illumine the most skeptical. Back from the sword and gathered out of many peoples, land and people were united in an embrace, the warmth of which even statistics cannot destroy. From May 1948 until the end of 1950, in which year I myself was in Israel, no less than 260 new settlements had been established, and over 60,000 new immigrants were absorbed in occupations solely agricultural. The value of productive farming in constant prices multiplied itself 12 times in 22 years. In modern Israel today, agriculture and industries account for 50% of the occupational structure of the people. Indeed, the scenes of the present-day restoration could well result in the prophetic picture painted by Ezekiel if we were to blend his pigments with the statistics and features of Israel as it has emerged in our own days. Not all the features are fully present yet, we must admit, but it is a picture worth watching. Israel regarding himself secure in unwalled villages, safely and at rest, and in reasonable prosperity with silver, gold, cattle, and goods. Such is the picture of a peaceful nation. And it is a very pleasant picture, too. But is it a fool's paradise? What awaits the people and the land, already so weary with disasters? Fortunately, the light from Ezekiel which flashed upon the sword blades of our own generation will also reveal to us, in succeeding messages, the answer to this question, too. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai p'nav eleha v'yivunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nav eleha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.